live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio. I am Jim Rome. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. This is the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio. I've been in the studio now for about a decade, but not for much longer because I made the announcement earlier this morning. The jungle is finally coming to television. CBS Sports Network is going to simulcast The Jungle starting January 2nd, which means we're on TV, we're in a new studio. You get to see what the whole thing looks like starting the 2nd of next year. Talked about this for a long, long time. I've been trying to set it up the right way, and finally I've done so. We're ready to roll. I am psyched, and I love the reaction I'm getting from you clones. This email says, "Dear Man Candy, I am absolutely stoked for the new TV show. You and the XR4TI are pretty easy on the eyes." Signed, Phyllis in Missouri. War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
Nice try, Phyllis. While I agree with your War Lady Clones take, as well as that part about how we're easy on the eyes, you're not fooling me, Philip. Phil in Missouri, going with the Phyllis in Missouri. This email says, Vance Mack. You should probably have a Chiron with how many kids Alvy has. It's tough for us to keep track. Yours, S. Kemp and Crow.
Dude, dude.
War Directional Schools. Haven't heard from Sean Kemp in a long time. Or even Crow. This guy throwing around TV terms. Better have that Chiron ready, clones. Or Vance Mack. All right, Vance. Or I should say S. Kemp and Crow. I'll have my Chiron ready. It's a TV show. But when I say it's a TV show, it's still the radio show. We're not going to compromise what we do on the air every single day. I know my room. It's going to complement, enhance, and build the brand and the show. It's going to make The Jungle bigger, better, fresher. It's a component program to run right alongside. But the radio show is still going to sound like the radio show, only better. And now you can see it. You've always wanted to get inside. You've always wanted me to let you in. And now it's going to happen. January 2nd in a new studio with a new set. All the cameras on it. What do you want to see? How do you think that's going to look? Seems like a lot of the early reaction is about Hawk and what his wardrobe is going to look like and his gray hair. Hey, listen, we got a couple of months to get right. We got a couple of months to lean out, get tight, update the drobe. Listen, there's a lot of slugs on the radio that show up and dress like that and carry themselves like that. Long before I even gave thought to being on television with this radio program, we showed up a certain way. We're business casual. Now, when you see me on CBS, for instance, on the NFL on CBS, I take pride in wearing David August gear. I've got those suits. I like the suits. I'm still kind of old school like that. I don't wear sneakers. I wear nice shoes. I like to suit up. Personally, I like to suit up. The way I've always done this radio show, we go business casual. I go slacks, business shirt, except on Friday. We denim up. And then I'll throw on some kicks. But don't expect to see us looking like slugs. Might have to trim down a little bit. Lean out. You might have to paint your head, Hawk. It's TV, man. Do what you gotta do. We all do what we have to do. I'll wear makeup. I remember the first time I ever wore makeup. It was weird now. And I would even say, like, the makeup, even the makeup over the years has changed. When I first got into television in the 90s, they had this makeup that was like a super heavy base of makeup. And I remember somebody sending me an email saying, "Hey, Rome, you got to take that makeup off." Even Kiss took off their makeup at one point, Rome. You should do it. And my response was, "I'm trying. I think I'm wearing makeup from like 15 years ago. Some of that early, the early heavy base makeup, you can't get off your face." I would take like 5 showers and the crap would still be in my pores. It's gotten much better over time. Hey, Rome. So, you're going to put this show on TV. We can't wait for the weekly clone video submissions. The in-person smack-off where we can see old Vic and DLC struggling to read their scripts. And Hawk's cat tip of the day. Sign the clones. Chris no longer in St. Pete. War Rome not getting fat while on TV. War outside sales. Man, that's so true too, isn't it? I got to get back in that routine. Like I said, for so many years, I had a daily TV show. So I had to be pretty tight. Now with my appearances on the NFL on CBS, I do that every other week during the NFL season. So I can do one of those kind of binge deals where I know I'm going to be on, so I have myself a good week, a really good week where I try and go lean and mean and work out and cut weight like a fighter. Then I do the show, and if I don't show up fat, I'm fine. Then I can let it go for a few days, knowing that once again, I can pick it back up. You know, isn't this what we all do? Not if I'm on every single day, though. I can't. You're right. Hey, Chris, that's going to be the challenge. Not to get fat on TV. And the tweets are still coming in about the jungle being televised. At Smokey34 tweets, Jim, congrats. Can we get a Lisa from Indy in studio? Televised interview. Unlikely, Smokey. Yeah, but if she wants it, she can have it. Lisa's cool. She did call out of the blue several weeks back. You never know. Maybe so. Maybe Skype Lisa in? At Hard Rocks 24 tweets, now Jeff in San Antonio can watch you on TV while his wife is giving birth. The waterworks will be flowing that day. That might be more than my man could handle.
War me and my fiance and war Jordan.
Hey, Jeff, I'm doing my best to have your back. I really am. But every time I hear that and you start going to that, war me and my fiance.
War me and my fiance.
I'm not saying that you can't cry at work. For a long time, I said you cannot cry at work. Actually, what I said was you cannot cry at work unless something terrible happened or something really sad happened. My man was getting kind of caught up. He was emotional. He was about to have a baby. I think we all remember what it was like. Assuming that it was planned, I think we all remember what it was like to have that child. You get kind of choked up. The mistake that he may have made, and I'm not saying he did, but he may have made was calling this show right before he and his fiance had that baby because he had a tough time getting through the end of that call.
War me and my fiance and war Jordan.
At PC Brent 1 tweets, war placing a camera in Keith Arnold's car so we can watch him make the daily Del Taco run. It's not a daily run, it's a weekly run. And you don't want the camera in his car watching him make that run. You want the camera on James Kelly crushing 8 of those tacos. My man's like Joey Chestnut. Lee Harold Oswald tweets, when you use your 180 days of vacation per year, do we have to watch your guest host ruin your show, or will they only be on radio? That's actually the best tweet yet. That's a really good question. When I go on vacation, and it's not 180 days, wise guy, it's like 30. When I take that vacation, it's very easy for me to find somebody to come into a studio. My studio, their studio, another studio. It's not the same thing with a TV show. There's only one studio, the one that we built. Who is going to be a guest host who can come in and do that TV show? That's going to be tough. Good point, Lee Harold. At Josh Hungerford tweets, can't wait to see the old school grid of the Rat family on TV. War bums getting famous on live TV. Neither one of those things are going to happen. Don't wait on that. Tim Thompson tweets, snags. Will Leffen Laguna get a key card to the VIP entrance? Not from me, he won't, but that doesn't mean he won't have one. My man's worked his way into this studio before. Pimp in the Box. Are you finally going to pull the trigger on the Rolex that you've been eyeing up now that you're on live TV every day, Matt in Calgary? No. No, I still can't afford it. Listen, this TV show is an amazing opportunity for me, the show, the brand, you clones. But that watch that I was talking about, that watch that you have me eyeing up, is hellified money. Hella expensive. So no. I'm going to need a lot of TV shows before I pull the trigger on that bad boy. Dear Jim, will the fax machine be in camera view? There is no fax machine. Hey, we got to figure this whole thing out. I'm not exactly sure what's going to be in camera view. I had a meeting with the marketing folks and the people who are behind this, before I hit the set on the NFL and CBS on Sunday. They're hyped. I'm really excited because they're really excited, and they've given me some examples of things they want to see, things they want to do, what the show intro is going to look like. Clones, I'll take your suggestions. What could enhance the TV product? What do you want me to do on TV with this show? Go ahead, clones. You're already taking credit for me and the show. Go next level with it. Now you're all a bunch of TV producers, too. Dear Jim, and by the way, I love the reaction. Thanks for picking me up. This is awesome. There is so much reaction on Twitter and on email. Dear Jim, since you're moving to a new studio, can I get the old one? It can fit an IKEA futon, right? Yours, T.O. Patasar from Bugaha. Hey, Brett, still not good enough. The one thing that will not change when this radio show also becomes a TV show, you will not be getting on. At least not the podcast. War Jim thanking the clones for his new TV show. Let me be the first to say you're welcome. Hey, Brett, I didn't thank you for anything. I'll thank you when you stop emailing me, Brett. Clones, thank you very much for getting me a TV show once again. Clones, thanks for everything. Thanks for providing me with the life that I have provided my family with, clones. Dear Jim Bob, are you taking your Die Hard and Born Identity posters to the new studio? Great question. Jack in Salt Lake. In fact, I may shoot a picture of this studio during the next break so you know what it is that I'm dealing with and how I live. And we can go before and after. In my studio right now, to my left is John McClane. To my right is Born. And right in the middle is the TV screen. And right behind me is my show logo. I've got nothing. This is a Spartan environment. It is sparse. You will not believe how drab and gray this room is. I'm here to grind. I'm here to work. What do I do with those posters? They're both signed. I got to put them in there. We got to find a way. We have to keep those. I haven't told the CBS folks that yet. They don't know about it, I don't think. They've got all sorts of ideas for how my studio should look. I got to find a place for them. If they're not in the studio, they've got to be in the green room. If we have a green room. We have to see. We are building this bad boy out. All right, when we come back, I love the reaction, clones. Thank you so much. When we come back, more of that, if there is more of that, and I want to get into Joe Maddon. Not only did he not give the ball to his closer when he had to, his explanation for it was even worse than not giving the ball to his closer. That's coming up in a minute.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Dino Babers is going to join me next segment. So I want to talk about him for a minute as it relates to Joe Maddon. First, this email says, Rome, I think littering the studio with super lame bobbleheads and football helmets of the matchup you're breaking down would be fresh. Mike R. in Toronto. Yeah, I don't think. I think the only bobblehead that makes it in is the Rome bobblehead or the Jim Rome action doll that somebody made for me once. We're not going bobbleheads and helmets. I don't know what we're doing exactly. We're having conversations about it, but we're not doing that. Romy, all I want to see on that TV radio show is some old school tongues slapped on the microphone. Signed, Chris Inventura. That's possible. Rome, we can finally watch you crunch up a bad text and email. It's going to be awesome. Signed, Rick Dow. But this is not going to be awesome. You know what that's going to look like? Somebody crumpling up a piece of paper. That will not be awesome. I'd like to think there'll be less of that, not more of that. Hopefully that TV show is not going to bring out a bunch of whacks. We all have to be better. They're putting cameras on us. That includes you. This guy doubles up. One more thing, Rome. Alvin needs his own cannon in studio. Chris Inventura. Hope you read this before I suit up and paddle out.
No good.
All right, so as a head coach, a manager, or simply the leader of a team, you have to have the right words before a game to motivate and inspire your team. Who can forget, for example, some of the all-time great pregame speeches? Herb Brooks, before the Americans took on the Soviets in Lake Placid. Drew Brees, before he leads his guys onto the field.
Who is he? Who is he?
That's great. That's still great. Or almost as good as that, if not better. How about that frat bro who graduated and then came back from doing whatever the hell it was he was doing in the real world to inspire his fraternity's flag football team?
We are f***ing gods. Out on that field, we don't f***ing take any shit. We're the f***ing rulers. We decide what f***ing goes, who goes, and when we win, and when we f***ing lose. Which is f***ing never.
And then there's what you say to your team after a huge win. What you say after a big win is key to maintaining momentum, getting guys motivated and locked in for the next game. You cannot just say, good game, fellas, see you at practice. Which is why former Washington Redskins head coach Jim Zorn led his fellas in a cheer after a huge win.
Hip hip hooray!
Hip hip hooray!
Hip hip hooray!
Hip hip hooray for NFL players.
Hip hip hooray!
Now, of course, if you're making a list of the all-time great victory speeches, you best have Syracuse head coach Dino Babers and his chat with his crew after they beat Clemson this past weekend. You beat the defending national champs at home in prime time. You better have something to say, and Babers did.
What about that loud house tonight?
Didn't fire you up. You're not alive. He's coming up in about 10 minutes. But you can't always be celebrating. Sometimes you need to answer the tough questions after a tough loss. And you better have a good answer for those questions. Because if you don't, it's going to follow you everywhere you go. There have been some all-time terrible answers to questions after losses. Excuses, complaints, justifications, you name it. And now we've got two more entries into the Worst Answers Hall of Fame. First up, Lyle Allen Jones, a.k.a. Butch Jones, the current head football coach at the University of Tennessee, and a man who's given one classic quote after another, you know, like referring to his team as, they won the biggest championship. That's the championship of life. But he may have topped himself with this gem after Tennessee lost to South Carolina. Quote, I thought we did all the things it takes to play winning football except one element, and that's score touchdowns. End quote. Wait, what? You did all the things it takes to play winning football except one element, and that's score touchdowns? That's not one element, Butch. That's the element. We've all decided that points are how we're going to determine winning and losing a football game. So if you do all the things that it takes to play winning football, but you don't score points, you didn't play winning football. I understand wanting to spin. I understand wanting to see the glasses half full, but that might be the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard. Scoring touchdowns is not a thing. It's the thing. Like, if it weren't for those little pesky points, we would have won that game. You may as well just say, we won the game except for the fact that we got outscored. If I go to a restaurant and order a meal, I'm not going to be real happy if the chef comes out and says, hey, listen, I did all the things it takes to make a winning meal, except I didn't cook it. I got all the ingredients. I did the shopping. I did everything. I just didn't cook your food. I don't think the reaction is going to be like, that's cool. That's fine. I get it. No surgeon ever said, we did all the things it takes to perform a surgery except for one element. Perform the surgery. Surgeons perform surgery. Football teams score points. That's what they do. You don't get credit for wearing tight uniforms or executing on third down if you don't score points. But you think that's bad? If you thought that Butch Jones would rip the title of worst comments after a loss, here comes Joe Maddon bombing in with one of the all-time legendary lines. When asked about not using his closer, Wade Davis, in Game 2, Maddon said, quote, It's important not to dry hump him, as the saying goes. That's the quote. It's important not to dry hump him, as the saying goes. Joseph Maddon, what the hell's gotten into you? Dry hump smack. And I love how he chases that with, as the saying goes. Is that a saying? I mean, really, is that a saying? Do people really say about Wade Davis? Hey, think about Wade Davis. You don't want to dry hump that guy. I think I get what you're saying, Joe. I think. Maybe you don't want to get him warmed up and not use him. Is that what you meant by that? Come on, Joe. It's got to be a classier way of saying it. I know wackiness is your brand, Joe, but dropping a dry hump blast in a presser. Is this high school or the NLCS? The only thing worse than not bringing Wade Davis into game two is saying that the reason you didn't want to bring him in is because it's important not to dry hump him. I'd expect that from the clones, not a World Series manager like you, Joseph. It's important not to dry hump him, as the saying goes. Like, hey, yo, listen. I think this goes without saying. I've forgotten more about baseball than any of you dry humpers will ever know. Oh, and speaking of dry humping, look, there's no way I was going to dry hump my man Wade Davis. I think even all you losers know, you don't dry hump Wade Davis. You know the phrase? The phrase is winning, not dry humping. I'm not going to dry hump my closer. Just as I'm not going to dry hump any of my starters or my infielders. No one ever dry humped their way to a world championship. You just don't do that. Not to Wade Davis, not to anybody. Ever. Hey, Joe, come on, man. Clean it up. There are kids watching and listening. Class it up, Joseph. Class it up.
Thanks, Joe.
It's important not to dry hump him, as the saying goes. What saying is that, Joseph? Wacky as you've ever been. Next time, give the ball to your closer. Dry hump smack. Okay, I went with that. When we come back, we'll talk to a guy who gets it. A guy who knew what to say to his team after the big win. Dino Babers, head football coach at Syracuse, coming off as big a win as they've ever had. And the scene after it was incredible. Top of hour number three, UFC flyweight champion Demetrius Johnson. Podcast Tuesday. Got a new episode of the Jim Rome Podcast. We did some of it yesterday. I'm going to do more of it today. And a complete preview of that still ahead. And the show is coming to TV. January 2nd on CBS Sports Network. The Jungle is televised. Live all 3 hours. Time now for a sports update. If you've been waiting, here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you need auto parts but you can't get to the store just yet, you want to head to O'ReillyAuto.com. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup. On your schedule, shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Podcast Tuesday. A preview of today's episode 9 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Still premium, still free. Absolutely free of charge. Coming up at the top of hour number three, we talk to the UFC flyweight champion, Demetrius Johnson. And we're going to talk some Syracuse football momentarily. In the meantime, I'm looking for you. NBA season kicks off tonight, coming off the best NBA offseason ever. One last battle before the ball goes up. Joel Embiid and Hassan Whiteside getting after it, both on the floor and on social. That's why I tweeted the other day. Seemed kind of cryptic unless you follow that type of thing. I tweeted that Joel Embiid is a treasure, and he is. This guy's incredible on Twitter, incredible on social. I still want to get into last night's matchup on Monday Night Football, but right now, let's talk some college football. We are joined by the head football coach at Syracuse. a two-time Ohio Valley Conference Coach of the Year while at Eastern Illinois. He's in his second year at Syracuse. Syracuse beat number 2 Clemson 27-24 on Friday night. Syracuse is now at number 8 Miami on Saturday. We are joined by Syracuse head coach Dino Babers. Dino, it's great to have you on the show today. How are you?
How are you doing?
Good, Dino. I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Jim, I got to tell you this. Were you national? I remember being in San Diego listening to you. Were you exclusive to San Diego, or were you national, like back in 95, 96 with
okay,
San Diego?
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up, Coach. But right about then, I was exclusive to 690 AM in San Diego, but then we syndicated the show right around that time. So we started going door-to-door and knocking on doors, and then we became national. So maybe the first time you heard it, only on 690, and now we're about 200 stations strong, waiting to talk to you after a big win.
I'll tell you what, I'm just excited to know that I heard about you in the beginning. And the first time I heard about you, I knew you were going to be good.
My man. That's good looking out, Dino. Thanks so much. And the first time I heard about you, I knew you'd be good. And that was long before that big win over Clemson. Let me start off by playing that piece of sound. I know that you know what that is because it's already become legendary. This is you in the locker room after the game with your players Friday night. I know they love you by the way they played for you and the way they reacted to you. I got to know, as the head coach, what were you feeling in that moment?
You know, it's special. It's special. You don't, I've only been a part of that one other time, knocking off a number 2 ranked team, if I'm not mistaken. I've been around a while. I want to say that was when I was at UCLA, when we knocked off USC when they were number 2 and knocked them out of the national championship game under Carl Durrell. Carl Durrell was the head coach. But to be able to do that now as a head football coach with those young men, it's something they'll never forget. They'll tell their kids about it. They'll tell their daughters, their sons, their grandsons, their granddaughters about the time that they knocked off number 2 Clemson in the Loud House.
And on top of that, there was no fluke to that win either. You never trailed in that game. Clemson came back and they tied that game 4 times. A lot of times the team might fold when the defending national champs comes back and ties it up, but your guys never blinked. What did that tell you about your team?
Oh, I think I've learned a lot about these guys. Now, we've been in some tough venues. We went down and played. We were 5 minutes to go, and we had a chance to beat LSU at LSU. 5 minutes to go, we had a chance to beat NC State at NC State. And both of those times, we came up short. And we had a big, long conversation the night before the game with just about – a lot of coaches don't want to bring up the past, but I was just – I wanted those guys to understand how close they came and that it's going to happen in this game as well. And we've got to dig down deeper. We've got to give more. If we give exactly what we've always given, we're going to get what we've always gotten. And that's kissing your sister, a close win. Didn't expect you to be that close. You guys covered the spread great. And we need more than that. We need to be able to get a win somewhere. And I thought the kids gave everything they had, and I'm so, so proud of them.
Syracuse head football coach Dino Babers, my guest. You know, you talk about the past and bringing up the past. Clemson did get you 54-0 last year. How satisfying then was it to return the favor and show up the way you did after how last year went?
You know, those guys were really good last year. They were the national champs, and deservingly so. You know, we felt that they were good, but we felt like that game, not being shut out for the first time probably since I was a head coach, being shut out and giving up 54 points to that offense. I'm not going to say we felt we were better than them, but we felt like our performance could be a lot better. And we just felt like we had to go right or wrong. We felt we were better than a 54-0 spanking to the national champions. And it all worked out in our favor.
Okay, now it seems to me you've been around for a long time. So when you have a win like that, people are going to come out of the woodwork and tell you, well, you're the greatest coach ever. You are awesome. And the players will hear the same thing. Now, because you've been around this, you know how to respond. But then again, in some sense, you've been down this path before in that you beat number 17 Virginia Tech last year, and then you followed that up with a win over Boston College. So what did you learn from dealing with the success of that win over Virginia Tech, and what can you use to apply preparing for Miami next?
You know, well, first of all, what we always tell the guys is you always want to start inside the family. You know, there's going to be people who are always with you, and then there's going to be people who are going to be jumping on the bandwagon just because of the immediate success you had. And if we go down there and stub our toe down in Florida, then they'll jump off the bandwagon. But, Jim, just like you, I was with you at the beginning at 6:90 a.m. Okay, so I'm with you from day one all the way to the end, brother. And that's what we're looking for inside our La Familia, our family, our Ohanas, the people that have been with us from the beginning. More people can jump on as we make a stop, but we're never going to forget the people that have been there for the whole ride. And what we need to do is we need to get back together on the football field today, rally the troops, understand that that was awesome what happened Saturday, but we've got an even bigger test because we're going to play the eighth-ranked Miami Hurricanes down in Coral Gables, who have not lost the entire football game down there in their home field, their humidity, their weather, and it's going to be a hell of a task.
I don't know, Coach. I've got no game and I've got no eligibility, but I'm looking for a letter of intent to sign right now. Will you have me? Will you take me? I can do something.
Yeah, with your voice, hell yeah, you can speak for me.
Tino Baber is joining us. Listen, when you first arrived at Syracuse, you knew there was going to be some work to do to get that program where you wanted it to be, and you made sure the practice was moving quickly, so the conditioning was something that was like, I don't know, it was baked into it. Jamar McGloster said, quote, "I died. It was hard at first going at that speed. I think I was 332 at the time, and it was rough," end quote. So what were the early days at Syracuse like for you, and then what did you make of the way your players responded to that challenge?
You know, I've said this before, I'm on record, and you know, this is the gospel. Watching us practice last year was like watching paint dry.
Right.
And I told the guys that, and they're looking at me like they're dying. And I told all the offensive linemen, I said, if you guys don't have a girlfriend, I said, you're about to get one, because all you guys are about to lose 20 to 30 pounds.
Great.
And we don't. I said, when we get done with you guys, you're going to be walking around in your boxers all the doggone time. You're going to be like Wolf Boy. We're going to be telling you to put your shirt on all the doggone time. You put your shirt back on, okay? These guys, they have to change their bodies if they're going to do the things that we want them to do, and they've done that. And we tell them that when we're at tempo, when we're at speed, we're only as fast as our slowest offensive linemen. And those guys bought in. They changed their bodies. They all got girlfriends now. They're walking around like BVD or BVD underwear models. I mean, these guys, they've got it made. But they put their work in. They've changed their bodies, and now they're giving us the opportunity to move quickly. When it goes to the other side of the ball, defensively, our defense practices against us all the time. They're not going to find a faster football team than us. So by the time that our defense lines up against any other team, it's like watching paint dry. They're sitting there going, okay, will you guys come on? Hey, will you snap the ball? My goodness, what's taking so long? And that's the attitude that we've got to have offensively and defensively in our culture.
Syracuse head football coach Dino Baber is my guest. You know, Dino, I know that you don't want to make it about you, but I'm having this conversation with you, and I wanted to ask you about this, but now that I'm having this conversation, it's even more difficult for me to imagine or believe. But it was not that long ago that you were a 47-year-old assistant coach who had interviewed for FBS head coaching jobs and not gotten them. Can you tell me what that time was like? Was there ever any part of you that thought, I mean, you knew you could do this, but was there any part of you that ever thought maybe it's just not meant to be? Somebody's not going to give me that chance.
Jim, you've done your homework. This is humbling right now. You know, I'm going to 690 a.m. San Diego. I'm going to give you the answer to your question. I legitimately thought that my window was done. Mm. I legitimately thought that I'd never be a head coach. And I had to reconstruct myself, reshape my mind that, okay, if that's not going to happen, I'm going to be the best doggone assistant coach in the country. And right when I settled in that no one was going to have a better position than me in the entire country that I was coaching, is when this opportunity came, when my opportunity as a first head coaching job came. And I wasn't sure I wanted to take it because I had locked my mind into the other parameters, into the other box, and spoke to a lot of people who were close to me, and basically they said this. They said, Dino, you can be an assistant coach anytime. He said, you've been so loyal to all the other coaches that you've worked for. Why don't you one time bet on yourself? And he says, if it doesn't work out, somebody's going to hire you. You're a hell of a coach. But if it does work out, you'll be able to do something and shape a program the way you see it. And that was the deciding factor.
What a great response. And then that opportunity was at Eastern Illinois. So, Dino, after all that time, and you thought about it for so long, even if you had kind of reshaped your mindset to, I'm going to accept being an assistant and be the best damn assistant there ever was, when you finally got that opportunity, what was it like at Eastern Illinois?
You know what? It was awesome. It was almost destiny, because my first head coaching job was at Eastern Illinois in 1987. The guy that hired me, Bob Spoo, who should be a Hall of Fame coach, coached there for 25 years. He got the job when he was 50 years old. Okay? 25 years later, he retired.
Hmm.
I was there in 1987, and 25 years later, they hired me. Okay, so the guy that gave me my first full-time job is the guy that I replaced 25 years later.
Incredible.
And I've got to tell you this story about him. You know, he was retired. And he had a workout place. There's a place that you could work out on campus, and I was going there working out early in the morning. And the team was, I can't remember, we were 2-1 or 2-2, and it was early in the morning, and I came to him, and you know how a young coach is, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that, wah, 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 you know, woe be on to me, and all that kind of baloney cheese. And I had a 75-year-old, I love him, Bob Spoo, love him to death, basically, he didn't do this, but basically grabbed me by the shirt, slapped me twice, and say, look, you have a hell of a football team. Stop crying and go coach them. And I've been doing it ever since.
I was going to say, probably never came up ever again after that. Dino Baer is my guest. When you're building a program, how significant is it that you don't have players to trust and believe that something big is coming? I mean, it's one thing to have that, but then all of a sudden you have a win, like the win over Clemson 2.2. You have that now. You'll always have that. How critical is that when you build that thing?
You know what? Young people nowadays, the millennials, they're so into immediate feedback. And it's not the way of the world. It's not the way the old school people have done it. It's not the way you are and our moms and dads did it. You need to work hard. You need to keep working. And the stuff pays off later. And, you know, with the millennials, you have to find a way. You want them to work hard. You want them to work in the old style. But you need a win. You need some success because of the non-belief that you have in your program. The Virginia Tech gave them a little faith, some success that they could hang their hats on. But now, after the Clemson thing, I would like to think that we have them. And all the guys that were 50-50, they couldn't decide whether they wanted to get on board, the train was leaving the station, or stay off. I think we've sifted through all that, and the people who are on board, and we're ready to go start our journey.
Hey, listen, I don't think there's any doubt. Seeing that scene in the locker room after that win on Friday night, there is no doubt. Everybody's all in, everybody's on board, and still a huge challenge coming up on Saturday. The big win over Clemson, and now number 8, Miami, is next in line. Dino Baer, my guest. Coach, I can't say how much I appreciate you and the things you said about 690. It hypes me up. It humbles me. It pumps me up. What an amazing win for you and the program, and it is so good to have you on the show today.
Jim, thank you so much. And your career, it's almost like we're locked arm in arm.
Coach. We are. We came up together. I didn't know it, but we came up together.
Hey, we both had our ups and downs, brother, but we're both still standing in the 15th round. How about that?
Preach. Preach. That's exactly it. Coach, go get him. Great talking to you. Dino Baer, Syracuse head football coach. We both had our ups and downs, but we're both still standing in the 15th round. Notice it was not 12th round. He is old school. 15th round. He also comes from that era of 15-round title fights. What an awesome conversation that was. Syracuse head football coach Dino Baer live in the jungle. When we come back, we'll talk to Demetrius Johnson, UFC flyweight champion. That's still ahead. Your thoughts on that interview we just had and more. Stay tuned.